Dr. William Luther Pierce, the year 2000. There will be hell to pay.
Hello. I've spoken with you on several occasions about the international white slave trade. That is, the enslavement of white girls and women from Eastern Europe who are lured to Israel under false pretenses and forced into prostitution by Jewish organized crime gangs from the former Soviet Union. I've pointed out that the white slave business flourishes in Israel because in that country slavery is not illegal as long as the slaves aren't Jews. White slavery is in fact sanctioned by the Jewish religion. There are several aspects of this Jewish trade in white women, in addition to forced prostitution in Israel, that we still haven't discussed. Child pornography, for example. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned the child prostitution operation in Brazil being run from the Israeli consulate there. Brazilian girls as young as 10 years old were being recruited to entertain Israeli tourists at sex parties in the consulate. That, fortunately, got excellent coverage in Brazilian newspapers, although there wasn't a word about it in U.S. newspapers. The Jews have a tighter grip on the news media in the United States than almost anywhere else in the world, and are quite successful at keeping most Americans from hearing about their shenanigans. One affair that has been getting some news coverage in Italy and a few other places in Europe during the past few days, though not at all in the United States, is the breakup of a child pornography ring operated in Moscow, which sells videotapes, CDs, and digital video discs to wealthy customers around the world through the Internet. On Wednesday of last week, 600 homes of wealthy Italians were raided by Italian police who seized child pornography, which had been purchased from suppliers in Moscow. At the same time, the three Jews who ran the business were arrested in Moscow. Child pornography is an almost unimaginably filthy business. I'm not talking about videos of well-developed 15 or 16-year-old girls having sex. I'm talking about things so perverse and sickening that most Americans can't imagine them. I'm talking about men being filmed having sex with 2- and 3-year-old girls. I'm talking about small children, white children, being sexually tortured and raped to death in front of a camera for the titillation of the sick freaks who are sexually excited by such horrors. The freaks, I'm sorry to say, are not all Jews, although Jews are disproportionately represented among them. The majority of them, in fact, are Gentiles. I don't know what makes people become so perverse that they enjoy watching a film of a 5-year-old girl being raped and sexually tortured. I think that in many cases, perhaps the majority of cases, it's not so much a sexual thing as it is a manifestation of the extreme individualism which has been promoted by the media here ever since the Second World War. That's the egoistic mindset which holds that the individual can and should do whatever gratifies him, that he has no obligation to anything or anyone but himself, that he is the only thing in the universe which matters, that his gratification should not be limited by any moral or community or racial considerations. These jaded individualist freaks get a buzz out of seeing or doing that which is beyond the pale. If they can pay $20,000 for a video of a little girl being raped to death, they have proved to themselves that they are special, that they are like gods, that they are not held back by the moral constraints which bind ordinary mortals. My view is that such people should simply be killed on the spot whenever and wherever they are found. More than that, the people who promote and encourage this extreme individualist mindset through their control of the media should be exterminated, root and branch, as a class. Does that sound extreme? Well, let me read you a few sentences from a Reuters news dispatch. This is Dateline, Naples, Italy, September 27th. I quote, "Police said on Wednesday they had arrested 8 Italians suspected of belonging to a child pornography ring that traded videos over the Internet, including films of Russian children who were abused to death. Police specializing in Internet crime told reporters that their 19-month investigation had given them enough information to begin investigations into 1,700 people suspected of buying the material over the web. They said 3 people in Moscow ran an operation to kidnap children from orphanages, circuses, and public parks and film them while they were forced to commit sexual acts. Police said they had intercepted some 3,000 tapes and CDs and digital video discs of child pornography, including some involving children only several months old. The packages were intercepted at the Italian border when they arrived by mail and were repacked. They were then delivered to the addressees by undercover police officers disguised as postal workers and carrying hidden cameras." End quote. 3 people in Moscow ran the operation. 3 members of a Jewish organized crime gang. And because they were Jews, you didn't see the news on American television or read about it in most U.S. newspapers. In fact, it was just a fluke that any news at all of this Jewish operation was allowed to be published. A few courageous Italian newsmen, and I mean real Italians, not Jews residing in Italy, took the extraordinary step of televising some horrifying excerpts from the Jewish videos the day after the raids. In a news report viewed by 11 million Italians, the newsmen bypassed the regular TV news directors and broadcast on prime-time television video footage showing Russian children being raped, tortured, and killed. This was on Thursday of last week. Have you seen or heard even a word about it here in the United States? I doubt it. Immediately after the Italian TV broadcast last Thursday, the Jewish TV news director of the government-run television network, Gad Lerner, came on the air and apologized to the powers that be, explaining that the material had been included in the news program without his knowledge. And the Italian news executives who had made the decision to broadcast the shocking video footage were forced to resign. But the beans had been spilled, and after that even the Associated Press felt obliged to report something about the affair. I'll read now from an Associated Press report of September 29th, 2 days after the police raids and the day after the Italian TV news exposure of the affair. I quote, "Police said they had broken up an online international child pornography ring, arrested 8 Italians and 3 Russians, and seized thousands of videos and photographs. The Russian-run ring, which distributed an explicit catalog on the Internet, catered to clients in the United States, Germany, and Italy. Its inventory included films of children being tortured and killed. Investigators say the pornography ring produces and distributes images showing children as young as 2 years old being sexually abused. Some of the victims reportedly were stolen from orphanages, others from families. Its catalog offers films of killings for about $20,000 and images of people having sex with children for about half that." End of quote. $20,000 for a film of a little blonde, blue-eyed Russian girl being raped to death. 1,700 customers for such films. Well, I guess there must be some pretty rich Jewish filmmakers in Moscow. And you haven't heard a word about any of it before my broadcast today, have you? Can you imagine what it would have been like if real Russians, instead of Jewish gangsters, had been kidnapping and murdering little Jewish children in Moscow so they could film the murders and sell copies of the film to rich Gentile perverts. It would have been nonstop news through every news medium in America. Bill Clinton and Madeleine Albright would have been on television grimly warning the Russian government that it must do more to catch the Gentiles responsible and to protect the Jews from them. The Jews would be moaning about the Holocaust again and holding out their hands for reparations from the Russian government. You know, the Jews have complained for centuries about what they call the blood libel. Blood libel is the blanket name they have applied to all the many reports which have repeatedly cropped up over hundreds of years in every nation of Europe, from England to Russia. Reports of Jews kidnapping Gentile children and ritually murdering them. The 14th century English writer Geoffrey Chaucer told in his Canterbury Tales the story of little Hugh of Lincoln, reportedly kidnapped and ritually murdered by Jews in England 150 years earlier. It was shortly after that murder that King Edward I expelled all of the Jews from England. The reports of Jewish ritual murders were still coming in from other countries throughout the 19th century, 600 years after the murder of Hugh of Lincoln. The Jews have denied all of these reports, claiming that they were the work of Christian anti-Semites who just wanted to stir up hatred against them. And I must confess to you, I have tended to believe the Jews rather than the Christians in this matter of blood libel. I have asked myself, what would the Jews have to gain by ritually murdering Gentile children? Why would they take such a terrible risk of being found out and punished as they were in England? Well, of course, that's not taking into account the absolutely breathtaking arrogance of the Jews. Chutzpah, they call it. And now I am forced to reconsider my former judgment on the matter of Jewish ritual murder. I mean, what is this business of Jewish gangsters kidnapping Russian children from orphanages or snatching them from public parks in Moscow or St. Petersburg when their parents aren't looking, and then sexually torturing them to death in front of a camera, if not ritual murder? Of course, these days the Jews usually don't have to scream about blood libel when they're caught committing these horrible atrocities, because they usually are able to keep the news suppressed. I suspect that if you ask your favorite Jewish media boss why this report of the police raids in Italy and the arrest of the child pornographers in Moscow didn't get more news coverage in the United States, he'll tell you that such news would only generate hatred against the Jews. And you know, he'd be right. If there's any group of people on this planet who have valid reasons for hating the Jews, it's the Russians, the real Russians, not the so-called Russians you occasionally hear the media here mention when they're reporting on organized crime in Russia. Those aren't Russians. They're Jews living in Russia. The Jews bled Russia dry with 70 years of Marxist rule and murdered tens of millions of Russians, the best Russians, in the communist slave labor camps or in the basements of the secret police headquarters or beside the shooting pits in forests all over Russia and Ukraine. They have forced thousands of the prettiest young Russian women into prostitution and slavery after the fall of communism. And now they kidnap Russian children and rape and sexually torture them to death in front of a camera in order to make child porn films for rich perverts in the West. The Jews are lucky they still control most of the television and other mass media in Russia, because if the Russian people ever are fully awakened to what the Jews are still doing to them, they will rise up and kill every Jew in Russia, every Jew, and they will be fully justified in doing so. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do without waiting for that to happen. I'm going to gather, publish, and distribute every piece of historical evidence I can find relating to Jewish ritual murders during the past 800 years or so. I'll publish a book on the subject. It'll be the best, most accurate, and most complete account of Jewish ritual murders I can make it. I'll advertise it and sell it in Russia and everywhere else. It might take me 2 or 3 months to get the book into print, but I'll tell you when I do. And meanwhile, those of you who have access to the Internet or to a large library, look up for yourself the news reports I've cited today about this Jew-run ring of child pornographers in Russia. That's the September 27th Reuters report and the September 29th Associated Press report. Read them and tell everyone you know about them. You might also send a letter to both these news agencies and ask them why they persist in referring to Jewish organized criminals in Russia as Russians instead of as Jews. You know, there are some things I really get steamed about. And this business of kidnapping and raping and murdering little white children for the amusement of rich perverts and the enrichment of Jewish filmmakers is one of those things. And listen, don't try to tell me that this is just a few Jews who do such things, that most Jews aren't responsible for such horrible atrocities. But certainly they are responsible, because the ones who don't run the child porn business cover for the ones who do. This latest story of the child porn raids in Italy last week will never be generally known in the United States, of course. The Livings won't know about it because they won't hear about it from Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather, and Oprah certainly won't be talking about it. Only those of you who listen to these American Distant Voices broadcasts and a few tens of thousands of other independent thinkers out of 275 million Americans will ever hear about it. But if by some miracle this affair were pounded into the consciousness of the American lemmings, if, for example, some of those 11 million Italians who saw on television last week a few unforgettable images from the seized child porn films have enough contact with Italians in America to make it difficult for the media bosses here to keep the lid on the news. If that happens, the mainstream Jews will cover for their brethren in the child porn business. Jewish solidarity will prevail, and we'll be hearing all of the respectable Jews from Al Gore's buddy Joe Lieberman, the conscience of the Senate, down to the Jewish news director at your local television station, moaning about blood libel. They will cover for each other. And that's why child pornography is still a billion-dollar business. That's why tens of thousands of the prettiest young white women from Eastern Europe are still forced to work as prostitutes in Israel and elsewhere. It's because the Jews cover for each other. That's why little Russian girls are being kidnapped and raped in front of video cameras. It's because the Jews who are not actually in the child porn business themselves cover for the ones who are. It's why little Russian girls will continue to be kidnapped and raped to death in the future, even after the arrest of the three Jewish ringleaders in Moscow last week. If the people in the news media gave this affair the coverage it deserves, just as a news story, the public would demand such severe action that child pornography no longer would be a profitable business for Jews or anyone else. Even the politicians would insist on a crackdown. But the bosses of the news media will not give this affair any coverage at all, because they know who the guilty parties are, and they are determined to protect those guilty parties who are their fellow Jews. I'll say that again. Instead of news coverage, we get only silence from the media here in the United States. The rich perverts in the United States, who were among the customers of those Jews in Moscow, will be permitted to continue building their video collections of child pornography without interference or publicity. And you know as well as I do why there has been only silence from the mass media in the United States. It's certainly not because the breakup of this operation in Italy last week isn't newsworthy. It's not because the American public wouldn't be interested. It's not because there's any doubt about the facts. It is because child pornography is essentially a Jewish business, and the news media who should be exposing it are controlled by Jews who cover for their fellow Jews. That is why I hold them all responsible, and not just the Jews, but also those of our own people who collaborate with the Jews and make excuses for the Jews. And it's why I recently have begun re-examining the whole subject of Jewish ritual murder. Because, you know, it worked in the past the same way it works today. Some little group of Jewish perverts or Jewish religious fanatics carrying out some hate-filled injunction in the Talmud gets caught for murdering a Gentile child, and the other Jews try to buy off the authorities. That's the way it was in 1913 when Leo Frank raped and murdered little Mary Fagan in his Atlanta pencil factory. He was caught, tried, convicted, and sentenced to die. But his fellow Jews paid off the governor of Georgia and had his sentence commuted. I have no doubt at all that if the citizens of Georgia had not taken the matter into their own hands and hanged Frank themselves, he eventually would have received a pardon and been released. Well, despite their bad luck with Mary Fagan, and perhaps also their bad luck with little Hugh of Lincoln, the Jews are surprisingly confident about their ability to get away with everything. Certainly they have gotten away with vastly more than they have been punished for. But you know, their luck will change one of these days, and then there will be hell to pay. They thought they had Italian television news safely under their control, and then a few rebellious Italian newsmen blew the whistle on them last week and gave 11 million Italians an eyeful of what the Jews in Moscow have been up to. They believe they have the news media in America so tightly under their control that the American lemmings never will have a clue. Well, they have kept the American lemmings from learning anything at all about the child porn bust in Moscow last week. But they also had a bit of bad luck in Palestine last week when a courageous French cameraman caught on film their deliberate, cold-blooded, sadistic murder of a Palestinian child. That made such a ruckus in Europe that even some of the Jewish media in the United States felt obliged to carry it, briefly. Did you see it? A 12-year-old Palestinian boy, returning from the market with his father, had the misfortune of passing near a group of Israeli soldiers who were shooting at some young Palestinians who had thrown rocks at the soldiers. The rock throwers were able to take cover, so the Israelis took out their hatred of Palestinians on the boy and his father. As the two unarmed Palestinians crouched against a concrete wall and begged for their lives, the Jewish soldiers deliberately pumped 4 bullets into the boy, killing him. They also shot the father, who survived. And when a Palestinian ambulance arrived on the scene, the Jews shot and killed the ambulance driver. And the French cameraman filmed it all. And you know how the news media in America reported last week's clash between the Palestinians and the Jews? They said, quote, "Israeli soldiers responded to Palestinian violence." Really, Israeli soldiers responded to Palestinian violence. Well, as I said, one of these days, there will be hell to pay, and that day can't come too soon. Thanks for being with me again today.